You are
listening to the
Brooklyn
Vignette
on
Free
Brooklyn.
The following stories are true, unscripted, and accompanied by music.
They revealed the thoughts and memories of those living in Brooklyn, New York.
These are the Brooklyn Vignettes.
I was trying to learn it online, and I would learn it from videos. And while I was starting to get a little bit of a handle on the different moves of Tai Chi, I saw this older Chinese gentleman in Cadman Plaza Park doing it while I was walking Lola. And I went to him and tried to talk to him, but he really didn't speak any English. But he started kind of showing me some moves, and then we somehow were able to communicate that he was there every week at that same time, and if I wanted, I should come, and he could help me. So I would go there every week, and I studied with him for a couple months. I would just go, and I would just shadow him, and then he would watch me, and he would help shift my positions and move my arms or move my hand or tell me, no, that's not good, or do this. And so he kind of became my teacher.
What sort of guy was he like?
Just a sweet man. And he was there with another woman who was also doing Tai Chi with him. I assumed it was his wife, but I don't know for sure what their relationship was. And I would see them sometimes in the neighborhood, and we would just smile and say hi. But our main connection was meeting in the park and doing Tai Chi together. And he kind of gave me this gift. It was really, really sweet.
Growing up younger, I was a smaller, chubbier kid. I lost my father at 12, so it was just like, I was out there. I was aggressive. I had to be aggressive. I switched schools a couple times, and then the first junior high I was in, I was one of four white kids. So it's like, you kind of play jail rules. You kind of go, you got to be the aggressor, or you got to be taken advantage of. And then I wound up going to a real nice school, which was the complete opposite of the junior high, but I kind of kept that little aggressive edge because everybody's new again. But I wasn't out there like beating the shit out of people. But, you know, if we had a strong disagreement, I would kind of just say, listen, are we going to fight? Are we going to do this? And I'd usually be the one to throw the first punch, or it'd be that things would get worked out. Well, I was working for a little bar, like locally close to my house, and it was known to, you know, a lot of mob guys there, a lot of, like old school Italian mob that were just not made guys, but like on the fringes, guys that were in sanitation and just like little side hustles. They did social clubs and everything like that. And a lot of guys from Sheepshead Bay. So it started shifting from the Italians to the Russians and the guys that were doing all the fucking, all the auto insurance fraud at the time. This is early 2000s. So that was a big racket that was going on. And these Russian guys were really moving in and kind of moving into Brooklyn. They had a lot of money. And this was one of the first places I bartended. And, you know, I was kind of in the street doing my street shit already. So, you know, I was selling a little bit of weed, a little bit of coke here and there, and bartending. And, you know, they got this idea, like, Fight Club came on, and it's like, this is something we could do in the basement. I was like, yeah, I would do it if you guys bet on me, and I got 40% of the whole pool. Like, if I got a 40% rake, then I would do it. I was like, I totally boxed a guy in the basement. So next thing comes to next, they started lining up guys, and then other guys signed up for it and everything. So you get 40% of like the fucking betting pool if you won, and you get 10% if you lost. But, you know, and they take care of, like, you know, if you need to go to the hospital, God forbid. I mean, that didn't happen a lot, but like stitches and stuff like that, like they would take care of all that for you.
So, how many times did you do it?
6 times, 4 and 2. The last time I got beat real, real bad, though. Like a real long, lanky guy. I mean, he was about 10 pounds lighter than me, but he was like 6'3 and had fucking huge, long arms like a young black kid, and he just fucking beat the shit out of me. I couldn't see where the punches were coming from. He was lightning quick, and he threw hard, and he fucking closed up both my eyes. Like, and my nose had been broken so many times that, like, you know, a light breeze can break my nose. Broke my nose and, like, twisted it, like, really turned it to the side, and I was like, all right, that's it. I'm good with this. I'm not doing this again. It worked out good for me. I mean, all said and done, I think I made like $17,000-$18,000 doing it in 6 fights. Because these guys were betting big money. And it was usually racially driven. It was usually white kid versus black kid, white kid versus Puerto Rican kid versus black kid, you know, like Russian kid versus American kid. So it's what you would expect from like a little mob scene, like kind of bare knuckle, but not bare knuckle kind of gypsy fight. Well, the girl I was dating at the time knew about it. She knew what I was doing. So, you know, and except for those 2 losses, I never really got touched up that bad. Like a couple marks and everything like that. It's like, you know, you make up an excuse. Like, you know, I was out there riding my bike. I fell on the bike. I was putting in, one time I told somebody that, you know, I was putting in an air conditioner and it slipped out of my hand. And I put a gash on my head. I was clear at work because I was fucking bartending in the place that I was fighting in, you know? So, and this is all during, it was quick. It was all in the course of about 6-7 months, like half a year I was doing it. And then I was just like, you know what, this is getting strange. You know, this beating's not worth the $3,000. Like, you know what, I'm good. I think my luck's run out here. I don't want to keep on taking this punishment. And there was a little pressure to do it, but, you know, they didn't have to twist my arm to do it. I was about that life. And then when I told him I'm done, it was fine. Because, you know, I was still bartending, hanging around.
In the beginning of March, I started having these really crazy dreams with my grandfather that died 2 years ago. And it was really intense because I never dreamed about him. And I would repeatedly see him in dreams. And that made me call my grandmother that I never usually call her. And it was really sweet because she was really happy with my call. And she was telling me about how he never visits her in her dreams. And she was happy that he was visiting me. And we were started talking about the corona. And what was really sweet about it is that it led into her saying that I should put an onion under my bed to keep protected from getting sick, because it's something that she used to do when my father was a little boy. So I did, and it was really cute because I also told my dad about it, and I guess my parents also did it. I'm not sure if everyone did it, but I told all of my family about it then. And then I had this onion for like a month under my bed until one day I checked it out and it was all grown. Like, it was really long, sprouted under my bed. And I decided to give her a chance, and I planted out of my window, and now she's growing and I see her, and I replace it for another onion, and that's what's under my bed now. Sprouted. What was weird though is that there was no light under the bed. I don't understand why it grew like that. Like, it was just strange for me, because in general I feel that it's because they're receiving light or whatever and they're doing their own stuff, but this was just really grown. It's almost like magic or whatever. But that was a cute learning from my grandmother. So maybe that was why my grandfather was appearing. Like, he was just trying to protect me from corona. Yeah, and also, like, it was really great to... My grandmother was doing so well. It was so nice to speak with her. I should actually call her more. She was such in a good state of mind and, like, so happy and just so good about everything that was going on, even though it's really awful. But I really think that he came because he wanted me to connect with her. And then she gave me that, and that was nice.
You are
listening
to
the
Brooklyn
Vignettes
on
Radio
Free
Brooklyn.
Very much.
Well, I have a lot saved, and I haven't been paying rent because my building's rent striking. And I'm waiting to hear back from, I applied to, like, the pandemic unemployment thing. And I don't know, I just, like, I have a Patreon. I've been getting a couple $100 that pays for groceries. Yeah.
How does that work? How does that work?
Do you know Patreon?
Yeah. So you have your own Patreon. Like, people give you money, but how? What for?
I just post news. I have no qualms about, you know, people seeing my naked body on the internet. It's just a couple $100 here and there.
Are you worried where they might end up?
I mean, like, the worst thing that would happen would be, like, oh, like, my boss sees it. But it's, like, I've never been in a work situation where that would matter so much. And, like, I don't know. It's just realistically, I don't know, like, what, my parents are going to see it, like. But, you know, whatever.
I wake up on a Sunday and I go into the living room. I said, "Hey, what's up, Dad?" He's like, "We need to talk." I was like, "Okay." And then he was like, "You have one or two choices. You get out right now, pack up your stuff, or I'll buy you a ticket to go back to Kansas City with your mom. And I looked him in the eye and I said, what's the reason for it? And he was like, because you're not doing anything with your life. And I was like, Dad, I started work today. I just finished an entire year of college. I'm even taking an entire semester off just to get my own apartment. And he's like, I'm giving you an option. It's either you leave and stay in New York or buy you a ticket to Kansas City. So I told him I was staying in New York. And I left that same day. We didn't talk for about maybe a year after that. I mean, life has hit me before, but that was the first time, you know, life hit me. I think it was probably the best thing to ever happen to me. It taught me how to be a man, taught me how to live on my own, how to struggle. I just think he wanted his own space with his wife, and I think that's the real reason, but he didn't want to admit that to me. He tells me all the time that he admires me and that he's actually as proud of the man I became. Because I just started doing it on my own, and I don't rely on anyone except for myself. Like, I don't rely on him or anything. Like, he knows that I'm fine, I'm making money, and I'm doing my thing because, you know, I have money, I'm saved up money. So he just calls me randomly sometimes, and he's like, you know, I'm really proud of you because you did it by yourself.
I go to the park, I'm amazed because everybody's, you know, trying to stretch their legs and play ball with their kid in the AstroTurf. So there's actually, in some ways it's quieter, and then in other ways there's actually more people around because no one's working. When I see all those people, a part of me gets mad and thinks, why are there so many damn people? But then I think, I'm here. And I do try to limit my time, you know. I don't go and linger. I don't hang out in the park. And I think some people do. But then there's the question of, like, families with kids. And then I appreciate, like, those kids have got to, they got to run off some energy. So you have to linger a little bit, you know. Like, I go to the park and I stand in the sun. Sometimes I'll try to be there for maybe 15 minutes, and I'll do Tai Chi in the sun in order to get a little movement and get a little air and breath and sun, and then I finish and I go home. But I'm sure other people, they might see me and think, like, look at this fucking asshole. What's he doing Tai Chi in the park for? He should be home, or I don't know. And it's just the nature of 8 million people. You know, everybody has to get out for a few minutes sometimes, even in a quiet little neighborhood like Brooklyn Heights. There's still just, you know, the numbers you can't get away from, the numbers of people that exist in close proximity.
Thank you.
one word for me, please?
La Bla Bla is...
What's this for? Podcast?
Free.
Okay.
The water free?
You just have to say free.
Yeah.
Did you start recording already?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No,
free.
No, it's slow a one. Weird word to say.
Vignette.
Or vignettes, plural.
Vignette.
Oh, sorry, I'll just wait.
Two.
The.
On.
Brooklyn.
I hate my voice.
You have been listening to the Brooklyn Vignettes on Radio Free Brooklyn.